What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got co-host Wes Goldberg joining me in just a minute. The Dubs lose another tough one to another bad team. But even though a loss to the Knicks is embarrassing, there were some positives to come out of tonight's game. And we're going to be talking about those in just a minute here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles D. Hamilton. Wes Goldberg coming up in just a minute. Another bad loss for the Warriors tonight against the Knicks. Man, they were in a situation, two straight at home. Thought they might be able to pull off three straight wins. And sure enough, they go 0-2, and they are 1-2 in their last three. Tough loss tonight. But as I said, there were some positives to come of it. And it's not just the 22-point comeback. Some deeper stuff happened that bodes well for the team and their future. And we are going to bring in Wes Goldberg to talk about all of it in just a minute. Wes, what's up, man? You were there tonight for, I guess, the back-to-back disappointing loss for the Warriors as they lost to the New York Knicks in overtime, overcoming a 22-point deficit. And I guess I want to start at the end with you since you were there. What was the vibe like with Kerr and Draymond and just the entire locker room after tonight's game? Because, look, I thought it was pathetic that they were down 22 to a Knicks team, but at the same time, they did have a comeback and, you know, were almost able to pull it out. What was their vibe around the locker room?
Well, you know, obviously you go into this game wanting to get the win. We were talking about this week, right? Maybe this team is going to win three straight, having beat Chicago on the back end of that road trip, and then you've got Memphis, and then you've got the Knicks. I mean, this was a real opportunity for them. And coming into the game, they lose to the Grizzlies in, you know, a pretty disappointing game. And you would think they would have gotten up a little bit more for this game against the Knicks, but it felt like they went 12 deep, I believe, in the first half. It kind of felt like they were mixing and matching their rotations and not quite figuring out what lineups were working. And getting all these bodies ended up kind of throwing them out of the rhythm a little bit. So by halftime, you're down 18 points. They fall into a 22-point deficit in the first half. They're down 18 at halftime. And now there's this new challenge in front of them, which is basically, do we just fold or do we try to come back? So I think by the end of the game, Steve Kerr and Draymond Green disappointed by the loss still, but it wasn't after Memphis. It wasn't one of the most upset that they've been after a game, because they had just gotten over this other challenge of, hey, you're back by almost 20 points, and they battled back, they forced overtime, and they were right there to win it, and I think they felt positive about that, and I think they felt positive about some of the things that they figured out down the stretch. D'Angelo Russell got really hot in the fourth quarter. He had been struggling for quite a bit since returning from his thumb injury. Draymond Green seemed a little bit more comfortable in that playmaking role. They figured out, you know, that with all these bodies, especially in the front court, that they've got some matchup solutions when, you know, you're looking at a guy like Mitchell Robinson, who is dominating the second unit for the Knicks in the first half. They put Willie Cauley-Stein. They opt to bring Willie Cauley-Stein off the bench, not because he wasn't playing well. I thought he actually played pretty well in the second half specifically, but, you know, you match up his size against Mitchell Robinson, and that was a nice little matchup for them. So I think by the end of it, they felt pretty positive about just some of the things that they had figured out. And maybe those are sort of the things that they can take moving forward.
Did Kerr specifically mention the move to start Marquese Chris was a matchup move with Willie Cauley-Stein and Mitchell Robinson?
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson was destroying that second unit. I think the Knicks had 32 points in the paint in the first half, which is just unheard of. So, you know, you add Marquese Chris, and I think part of it too was Willie Cauley-Stein wasn't having a great first half. They decided, you know, bring him off the bench. Marquese Chris was playing well, I think, from the beginning.
He was, definitely.
And it was, you know, he provides a certain versatility defensively. I think that team needed defensively that Willie Cauley-Stein couldn't bring. So it was probably a little bit of both. But Steve Kerr's, you know, the company line was bring him off the bench because of the matchup with Mitchell Robinson, which isn't a complete lie. I think there's definitely some truth in that.
No, absolutely, because you can tell it worked. I mean, it was just matching his length. He's, you know, Mitchell Robinson, similar to Willie Cauley-Stein, 7 foot long, but still a little slender. And so the matchup definitely did work. Willie was able to knock down a couple jumpers, which always makes me kind of laugh a little bit because he's going to want to take more now. But he did end up playing pretty well. Steve Kerr, like you mentioned, playing 12 guys in the first half. I tweeted out during the game, you know, him having all these healthy bodies just gives him opportunities to play awful lineups. And I know that he is mixing and matching and trying to figure it out. But you know what lineup I could tell you wasn't going to work before he put it in? Jacob Evans, Glenn Robinson, Draymond Green, Eric Paschal, and Kevon Looney. That was a run of a couple minutes where I just I wanted to pull my hair out. And, you know, it's overanalyzing a game for a 5-20 team. But at the same time, when there's winnable games out there, man, like, I would like to see these guys win, because even with the tanking, you don't have to have the worst record in the league. You can have a bottom three record, and then you're, you know, still have the same lottery odds. So, it'd be nice to get wins when they can.
No, you make a really good point. Like, even you, when a game goes to overtime, I mean, even a 1 or 2 minute stretch can win or lose the game. It could decide the game. And they can't afford to put a lineup out there like that again. I would be shocked if we saw that lineup again. It would be it would be malpractice to see that lineup again. But I do think it's sort of just also a function of they have all these guys that they don't really know what to do with. I mean, Jacob Evans didn't get into the game until the second quarter. And I don't know if that was planned or an oversight or what, but it did seem sort of strange to me. Kevon Looney only played 5 minutes because he just didn't play that well and it wasn't really well conditioned. And Chris and Cauley-Stein and Spellman they had the energy. They were able to keep up in the game with a faster pace that they wanted to be playing. So, you know, I think they're going to have stuff to figure out, but they're going to need to also at some point, and I guess this is the way you do it, right? Is, all right, which one of these lineups work? Who's going to anchor the second unit? What 2 and 3 man groups do we need? Because, you know, the 3 man group that they leaned on in crunch time was Glenn Robinson, D'Angelo Russell, and Draymond Green. I mean, those three were out there basically for most of the fourth quarter when it really mattered. Alec Burks had a big thing. You know, he was also a huge score for them in the second half. So if those are going to be the guys that you lean on, well, then, you know, they have an opportunity now to figure out what the new closing lineup is going to be.
No question. One last thing that killed me, I hate to throw Steve Kerr under the bus here, but towards the end of the game, like in the last 2 minutes, they're running some pick and roll with Marquese Chriss and D'Angelo Russell, and they're trapping D'Angelo Russell, sending 2 at him. And immediately, what do I think back to is the, you know, anytime they do that to Steph, or when they did that, I think it was the Chicago game, where it looked like old school Warriors basketball, where Draymond would set the screen, they both go at him, Draymond sets up an oop, or he's, you know, the facilitator at that point. And so I thought, great, now you run the pick and roll with Draymond. But instead, they ran it 2 more times with Marquese Chriss, got nothing out of either possession. You know, one was a turnover, one was a Marquese Chriss, like, mid-range shot. I just thought that was, I don't know, an oversight. Again, you know, it's tough to nitpick a game against the 2 worst teams in the league, but I just thought there were opportunities that were left out there, partially by Steve and partially by the players, too.
Those are the things that they're going to nitpick too in film session tomorrow morning. That's what they're going to look at. They're going to look at those 2 kind of opportunities and say, what can we have done differently here? And the whole idea is that you learn from it, right? Like, you battle back, you scratch and claw back with all this energy, and then you get into crunch time, you get into these last couple minutes when the execution becomes even more important than the energy that you've already established. And if you're them, then you know you got to learn how to sort of match your energy with just sort of that execution you need during the finer points of the game.
Definitely. And one of the things about, you know, getting these players back is it cut into the time of some of the guys that had been playing well. I, you know, maybe it's just the fact that they're younger and the guys coming back were vets like Kevon Looney, and technically Jacob Evans is a vet. You know, he's at least got 1 year in the NBA, to where I think Kai Bowman only played, you know, 5 minutes in the first half. Same thing with Spellman, and on a night when you're just not able to hit any shots, especially in that first half, you know, I would have liked to see them a little more also. But again, that's Steve Kerr just trying to figure out who can play with who and what lineups work and don't. And I just figure it's something we're going to continue to see until they find the right matchups, I guess.
No, that's exactly right. It's we're going to get to a point too when all these guys are going to be healthy, and Steve Kerr is still just playing maybe 9 or 10 guys. I mean, he's going 12 guys deep right now. He had 14 players on the bench. The only two guys that didn't play were Jordan Poole and Alan Smilek each, and they weren't planning to play, right? Yeah. We're assuming that we're going to see mostly those two guys in Santa Cruz in the G League for the foreseeable future. But even with 12 available players, we're going to get to a point probably where he's playing maybe 10 of them, 9 or 10 of them. And this is the point where he gets to determine, you know, who those 9 or 10 guys are going to be.
Definitely. And look, tonight was bad. It was a bad loss. Most losses I'm fine with, especially considering the circumstances this year. This is one that I can't endorse this one. But even with the bad play and going down 22 and all that stuff, there were some positive moments. And I'm going to tell you about those in just a minute. Wes, so another loss on a lost season. The Warriors lose to the Knicks in overtime. And just real quick, the Knicks, I understand that their roster construction is ridiculous because they have 5 power forwards. But the thing is, they have 5 starting level power forwards on their team. So they do have good players. Marcus Morris, I think Marcus, right? He's the Morris brother on the Knicks.
Yep, Marcus.
A career night. So they do still have some players. But at the same time, I feel like in the immediate for these last two games, if you played the kind of heavy pick and roll offense to benefit D'Angelo Russell, you would have had a better shot in both these games. But I also believe running the motion offense and trying to get everyone to get used to it and get comfortable with it is the right move. And I think we saw glimmers of that with D'Angelo Russell tonight, where he was making some plays coming off pin downs and curls and things like that. And so I think there were some positives as far as just seeing him get comfortable with the Steve Kerr offense and not just the heavy pick and roll.
I agree. And all the things you said, exactly right. And, you know, I was watching him off the ball a lot tonight, and he's setting screens for guys. He's starting to figure out how to be an effective playmaker without the ball in his hands. What I mean that is he can accumulate some screen assists almost. I mean, there's guys that, you know, coming off, they're flying off the baseline, coming around his screens and getting open shots from the corner or something like that. And that's been a very valuable, because D'Angelo Russell, he's a big guy. I mean, for a guard, he's got above average size. So he could be a real valuable piece in their screen game and stuff like that, more in a way similar to maybe like Klay Thompson. You know, Stephen Curry has become a better screener because he's smart, but you only want to set him up in those situations so many times because he's also slight. But, you know, D'Angelo Russell can handle that. So I think that was a good that was definitely a positive sign for them, and he is getting more and more comfortable in these roles. And then you see at the end of the game where they really just need a bucket and give it to him, and he does this weird pirouette in the corner and, you know, shoots this rainbow shot over Mitchell Robinson and his 7-foot body and drains it. And so that was sort of like that fourth quarter from D'Angelo Russell was kind of the ideal place for him, right where you want him to be.
Definitely. And it was a great moment for him to tie it up at the end of the game. OT was a different story. But the thing is also, I think this is the most comfortable I've seen him in this Steve Kerr motion offense, movement offense, et cetera, so far this year. And there were times where, you know, earlier in the year, it was just like, this guy is not going to be able to figure it out and it just isn't going to work. But this is, I mean, I can pick out like 4 or 5 plays that he made, just him getting buckets. But you also mentioned him setting screens and the off-ball stuff he was doing as well. And when you talk about setting screens off-ball for guys like him and Steph, it's their gravity too. Like, it's great that you can set the screen physically, but then it's basically like you're running a pick and roll and you're taking 2 defenders with you because of the gravity you have. So I think tonight was a positive in that sense, but a pretty bad negative as far as the loss goes.
Yeah, you know, in regards to D'Angelo Russell, I mean, he wants to play in this offense. I mean, I think there's sort of this notion out there publicly that all he wants to do is run pick and roll and cash in his max contract checks, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's the case. I think he's really looking forward to evolving as a player. I mean, I know he is. I've talked to him several times about it, where he wants to learn from Steph and Klay and these guys, and he hasn't really had the opportunity to do it, so it's hurt his learning curve a little bit more. I mean, he's younger than, you know, 20 rookies in this year's class. He's only 23 years old, so he's still got a lot of things to figure out, and I think he's going to because he really does seem eager to figure it out. And, you know, is the loss disappointing? Was this a really good chance to earn a win? Yeah, it definitely was. And you don't want to have another loss to you don't have a loss to the other worst team in the league under your belt, regardless of if you're tanking or not. It doesn't matter. I mean, you pointed it out well earlier. It doesn't really matter if you do the worst record or the second worst record in the league. You have the exact same odds of getting the top pick.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you have lost the game, then these are the sort of positives that you try to take out of it and build with. And I really do think that there are a few things. This sort of feels like they're building towards a team that's going to eventually string together two or three wins. I really do feel like that's going to be the case here because they're starting to figure some things out.
Yeah,
they look like a real basketball team, right? Like they would, like, on the bench, like the bench is full. Like they are doing things. Like there's players on the floor that are different, you know? Like this looks like a real basketball team now.
Yeah, for the first time all season. No, I think you nailed it. I think once it starts clicking, and we saw pieces of that tonight, that they will be able to rattle off, you know, some wins, and probably I'd be surprised if they ended with the worst record in the league, but they do have a tough stretch coming up at Utah on Friday, Sacramento at home on Sunday, at Portland next Wednesday. But then they have, what is that, six straight at home? So
yeah,
there's going to be some opportunities, some tough teams. But as we've seen, I mean, even though we saw it in the second half, I'll put it that way, that the Warriors do play better at home. And I do give them credit for coming back. It was a valiant effort in the second half that we just didn't see in the first half. So even though I'm pretty down on the loss, I'll give them credit for the comeback as they almost got it. But Wes, you're going to be on your way to Utah, so I'll let you go, man. And we will talk to you, I guess, before the game, most likely. I think that's what we should do.
Sounds good.
I'm trying to stay up and talk to you after another tough one. But yeah, man, I'll talk to you tomorrow. And thank you all for listening to Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.